I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome any of those of you that might be visiting with us this evening. We're glad that you came to be with us, and we'd like to invite you to come back and be with us once again. If you're not a member of the Lord's Church, we are especially glad that you're here. Follow along in your Bibles to see if the things that we teach and say are true or not and to God's Word. If they are, we have an obligation to obey them. And if you've not accepted to save the Lord as your Savior tonight, you need to do that this very night. All things are ready. There's water in the baptistry. Clothes are waiting. And all that is lacking is for you to come forward tonight when we stand to sing the invitation song. I'd like for you to consider that as we go through the lesson tonight. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 6, and in a few minutes we'll start reading. One Sunday morning, a little girl came into the kitchen and she said, "Mommy, my stomach hurts. I've got a stomach ache." The mother said, "Well, honey, I know what your problem is. You don't have anything in there, in your stomach. Put something in it and it won't hurt." Well, the little girl did. She ate some breakfast and then off they went to worship. As they were leaving that morning and passing out by the preacher, the little girl noticed that the preacher didn't look quite right. And she said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, my head hurts." And she said, "I know what your problem is. You don't have anything in your head. Put something in your head and it won't hurt." And there's a lesson in that for us. Sometimes our head hurts, sometimes our life hurts, because it's empty and we need to put something into it. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." 1 Peter 2:1-3 says that like newborn babes, we are to long for the pure milk to grow. In Hebrews 5:12-14, it says that we need to advance from milk to more solid food. So there needs to be a hunger, we need some milk, and we need some solid food. For the next few minutes, though, I'd like for us to consider our hunger, our diet, the feeding of our soul. What is my diet? How does my diet affect my life? And lastly, we're going to look at some benefits of a proper diet. I heard a man tell once that he felt like he had two dogs inside of his body. Two equally strong German shepherds. One was good and the other was evil. And he said that they were always at war with each other. And you know which one would win? He said, "The one that I feed is the one that wins." And just think about that. The one that I feed is the one that wins. And we have that same struggle. That struggle of the spirit and the flesh. And you know which one wins? It's the one that we feed. And that has always stuck with me, that illustration. You know, we gain strength from food. We get nourishment. Food sustains us. It builds our bodies. Proper nutrition helps our bodies to perform as they were designed to. And without proper nourishment, our bodies can become sick, diseased, and even die. And even though the food that we buy from the grocery store is necessary for our survival, there is another food that is very much more important than that. In John chapter 6, beginning at verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." They said therefore to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent me." They said therefore to him, "What then do you do for a sign, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the man in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." They said therefore to him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is our bread of life. He is that nourishment that we need to sustain us. He is what is necessary for our existence to continue and to be alive spiritually. Sometimes, though, we need to take an examination of our life and see how the food that we take is affecting us. I've gone to the doctor at different times when they would take a sample of my blood and they would examine it to see what's in there. And by examining my blood, they've given me a list of foods that I should eat regularly and foods that I should avoid. And I know that if I eat certain foods, there are going to be certain positive benefits and conditions that result from that. And if I eat or partake of certain other foods, there's going to be negative benefits or conditions that can happen to me. And so it is with our spiritual body. The same principle also applies. But is it just that easy with our spiritual bodies as reading a list? I don't think so. It takes a little more effort than that. But we do have an example of an examination. We turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is what we generally read at the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." If we turn over to Galatians, we can find some of the effects of the good and the bad. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, when we take an examination of our lives to see what is in it, what do we find? Do we find immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like those? Or when we examine our lives, do we find that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? These things are going to show up in our lives when we take an examination, one or the other. It's either going to be the good or the bad, that with the flesh and the spirit here. If we go a little bit farther in Galatians, over in chapter 6, we find a passage here that we usually refer to as God's law on sowing and reaping. But I think these laws also show how our diet can affect our life. And I would like for us to consider those in light of this. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, "And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." Now, like I said, we usually refer to this as God's law of sowing and reaping, but I think actually there are at least four different laws that are stated here. And I think one of the first ones that we need to keep in mind is that we are going to reap in the same kind that we sow. You know, if I take a watermelon seed and plant it, I'm going to expect to harvest a watermelon. If I take some corn and plant it, I'm going to expect to harvest some corn. Now, why would somebody think that they can drink alcohol and not expect to receive the bad fruits of that alcohol? Whatever we sow in, that same kind we are going to reap. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap from the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap from the Spirit. One of the other laws, though, of sowing and reaping is that we are going to reap in a different season than what we sowed in. If I go out and I plant a watermelon seed tonight, I'm not going to eat that fruit tomorrow. It's going to take time to grow, it'll get larger, and then there will eventually be the harvest. I might eat certain foods on a regular basis right now that don't affect my life. I don't see how they affect me at all. But later down the road, I might be lying in a hospital bed somewhere because of the effects of the accumulation of these foods that I've been eating at this time. If we're planting in the Spirit, the same law applies. That's why in verse 9 it says, "Do not lose heart, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." Things aren't going to be immediately. If we do something good, there's not going to always be an immediately good result. If we do something bad, there's not always going to be an immediately bad result. It's going to come in a different season. A third law I think we can get from this is that we are going to reap or harvest more than we plant. You know, a watermelon seed is about the size of my fingernail, but when the fruit is ripe from that vine, I would have my arms full. If we plant little seeds of worldliness or materialism, we will have our arms full at harvest time. If we plant little seeds of love and kindness, we will have our life full at harvest time. Fourth law I'd like for us to consider from this is that we can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can change this year's harvest. How can we do that? By changing what we plant. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know, if I plant something, I'm going to reap the same kind. If I want to reap something different, I need to plant something different. I can't change what I ate yesterday, physically or spiritually, but I can change what I eat today. And by making that change, we can change our life in the future. Well, what then should we be sowing in our head? And what should we be feeding our soul? When I read the list that my doctor gave me on what I should eat, you know, I don't get too excited and say, you know, oh boy, you know, I get to eat vegetables and I get to eat whole grains and a little bit of fruit. You know, even though that's good, I just don't get motivated by reading a list like that. Something, though, that motivates me more, though, is when I think about the benefits of a certain diet. You know, if I stick to a certain diet, you know, I'm going to feel better. I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to have less stress. I'm going to sleep better. I have fewer days when I'm sick. And those benefits can motivate us to stick to something. And it's important to feed our soul the right things. A passage that always comes to my mind is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." These are very important things to feed our soul, to feed our mind. But what I believe is even more important is an understanding of how it will benefit us, how it will help us, how that the food that we partake of will make our spiritual man grow, how that food that we partake of will help us to bear fruit someday. And with the Word of God, you know, it's not like it's something that it's unpleasant to take. Psalms 19:10 describes it as sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. You know, the Word of God is something that is pleasurable to take. Well, I listed 5 benefits of feeding my physical body from the diet that my doctor gave me. How many benefits can we think of from feeding our soul the Word of God, the bread of life? Can we think of 1 or 2 or 3, maybe 6, a dozen? You know, it might start getting a little bit hard after a while, but the Bible is full of very many benefits. And I'd like for us to turn to Psalms 119. And we're going to look at some of the benefits of spending time in the Word of God. About the only thing that most people know about the 119th Psalm is that it's the longest psalm there is in the Bible. But the Psalms are very interesting to study, and Psalms 119 is no exception. This psalm is divided into 22 sections. Each section contains 8 verses, and each section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Something that is also unique about this psalm is that in almost every verse, there is a reference to the Word of God. It either describes it as a commandment, as a precept, a testimony, the Word, the law, or ordinances. But I think one of the really exciting things, one of the things that can really motivate us, is that not only does each section contain a reference to the Word of God, but each section also contains a benefit of spending time in the Word of God. A benefit that can change our life, a benefit that can change our outlook, a benefit that can change our attitude, and a benefit that can change our eternity. We are not going to go through these in detail. I basically just want to create an awareness of where they are so that you can go back and study them on your own. But let's begin. And the first one in Psalms 119 is in verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. One of the first benefits that we get from spending time in the Word of God is that it establishes my ways. Just think of how many people wander through life not having their way established, not knowing which direction to head, just roaming through life, whatever comes along, like a ship lost at sea, headed in nowhere. This is something that I always think of as sad when I see people like that, but this is one of the benefits that the Word of God gives us. It establishes my way. In verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. What does the Word of God do? It purifies my life. We skip down to verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. The Word of God gives us counsel. When we need advice, where do we turn? We should be turning to the Word of life, the bread of life, to God's Word to give us counsel. In verse 29, remove the false way from me and graciously grant me thy law. The Word of God will remove everything false in me. It's from his word where we see those things that are false, and then we have a basis on which to take them out of our life. It's just like part of that examination. In verse 38, establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. The Word of God produces reverence for God. As we study the Bible, as Keith was saying this morning, we come to a greater understanding, a greater appreciation. You know, when we stop and think about the songs that we sing or the prayers that we pray, are we just mouthing words? Are we just saying words with no feeling, no emotion, no reverence? When we spend time in the Word of God, that is one of the benefits that it will produce. It produces reverence for God. In verse 46, I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. What's another benefit of the Word of God? The Word of God increases our courage. You know, when I think about the apostles, men that were just common men, fishermen, different trades, uneducated, But then the role that they played in the first century, the people that they spoke before with the confidence that they had, that came from Christ and from God and from the Word, it's amazing what confidence they had, what courage they had. It wasn't something that was miraculous, but it came from the Word of God. In verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me." The Word of God comforts me in afflictions. And again, that's a benefit that people that are outside of the body cannot enjoy. We all face afflictions, but where is comfort if we are not in God? When we think that after the afflictions, the only thing that's left after that is an eternity in hell, there's no comfort. But when we have the Word of God and we are abiding in that Word, we can have comfort. In verse 61, "The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous ordinances." The Word of God guards me from panic. Again, it's something that builds us up. It gives us that inner peace, that serenity. Even when we are encircled, "I will rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous ordinances." Righteousness will prevail. Verse 66, "Teach me good discernment and knowledge." Another benefit of feeding on the Word of God, it teaches me discernment and knowledge. How do we know to discern what is good and what is evil apart from God's Word? Where do we get knowledge? It's from God's Word. If we want either of those, we aren't going to be able to get them if we aren't taking in God's Word and making that part of our diet. In verse 79, "May those who fear thee turn to me, even those who know my testimonies." You know, the Word of God is going to make you resourceful. People are going to see that you have the answers of life, and when they have problems, they're more likely to come and ask you about something than they are one of their friends of the world. It says, "May those who fear thee turn to me, even those who know thy testimonies." The Word of God does make us resourceful. In verse 87, "They almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake thy precepts." The Word of God will cultivate patience in our lives. When we see the example that other people went through, things they endured, where they did not give up, they did not forsake God, they held on to the truth, it will also cultivate that patience where we can hang on in life. In verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me." You know, this is a verse that should be good for us when we are feeling down. The Word of God can keep us spiritually recharged. When we are feeling down, sometimes I know with myself, it's because I've gotten away from spending time in the Word of God. When we do spend time in the Word of God, you know, we have got to be lifted up from what we read. It keeps us spiritually recharged. Verse 98, "Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts." When we study the Word of God, it's going to accelerate our understanding. There are so many things that people go through life trying to figure out the answers to, trying to figure out the questions. We have everything in this book that we need. You know, what are the questions? What are the answers? We are going to be far ahead, above of many people in the world from spending time in the Word of God, making that part of our diet. Verse 111, "I've inherited thy testimonies forever, for they are a joy of my heart." Do you want to have a joyful heart? The Word of God creates a joyful heart. That's a benefit that we should all enjoy, that should motivate us. How many people do we know aren't happy? And again, I go back, when we think of all the physical illustrations of food and taking it in, we got to just keep taking it in. It may not be Right now, when we read it, that it's going to happen, it's going to come in a different time, a different season. It will come. The Word of God creates a joyful heart in us. Verse 116, sustain me according to thy word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. The Word of God sustains me when I feel helpless. Along with that, down in verse 128, therefore I esteem right all thy precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. The Word of God is going to enable me to honor right and to hate wrong. Again, it'll show us which is which, and it will help us to develop that love for the truth and that hate for that which is wrong. In verse 133, establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let my iniquity have dominion over me. The Word of God helps us to walk in the truth. It establishes our footsteps in thy word. When we are established in that word, as it says, then iniquity is not going to have dominion over us. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. When we spend time in the Word of God, it's going to surround us with delight in spite of difficulties. And there are going to be a lot of difficulties in life. It says, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet thy commandments are my delight. And you know, this is something we need to keep in mind too. God didn't promise us a life free of anguish, free of trouble, but he promised to be there with us. He promised to go through that with us. But we need his word to help us get through there. When we are studying his word, it will surround us with delight, even in the midst of trouble and anguish. Verse 147, I arise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for thy words. When we spend time in the Word of God, it's going to develop the discipline of prayer. Here, he's rising before dawn and crying for help. Crying, praying to God. 153, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. When all else has failed, the Word of God rescues me when I am defenseless. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. God is there. He is our Savior. He is our deliverer. The Word of God is going to help rescue us when we are defenseless. In verse 164, seven times a day I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. When we spend time in the Word of God, it's going to fill us with praise without and peace within. Here he says, seven times a day I praise thee because of thy righteousness. And those who love thy law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. That's a wonderful benefit to think of, that we can be filled with peace within from feeding on the Word of God. The last one, in verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. The Word of God is going to draw me back when I stray. That word is still going to be there, reaching after me to draw me back. You know, when we think of this, this is some list of benefits that we can get from spending time in the Word of God. The Word of God establishes my ways. It purifies my life. It gives me counsel. The Word of God removes everything false in me. The Word of God produces reverence for God. The Word of God increases courage. It comforts me in afflictions. It guards me from panic. It teaches me discernment and knowledge. It makes me resourceful. It cultivates patience. The Word of God keeps me spiritually recharged. It accelerates my understanding. It creates a joyful heart. It sustains me when I feel helpless. It enables me to honor right and to hate wrong. The Word of God causes me to walk in the truth. It surrounds me with delight in spite of difficulties. It develops the discipline of prayer. It rescues me when I am defenseless. It fills me with praise without and peace within, and it draws me back when I stray. You know, what a list. 22 benefits from spending time in the Word of God. Now, I ask the question, does your head hurt? Does your life hurt? Maybe you should start feeding on the Word of God. You know, how many of us have a refrigerator in our house but never open it to see what's in it? I don't see any hands. How many of us have a refrigerator in our house but we only open it maybe once, twice, three times a week? You know, or how many people have a refrigerator in their house and they don't open it, but they'd rather have somebody else open it and see what's in their form? You know, and that sounds ridiculous, but how many of us do that with the Word of God? We have the Word of God, which we need to sustain us, but we don't open it up. We don't see what's in there. We don't partake of it. We don't make it part of our lives. Where is our appetite? I'm afraid that with some, their appetite is back in the worldly things. It goes back to the example earlier. It's which one of those dogs do we feed? Do we feed the one that's good, or do we feed the one that's evil? I want us to close back in John chapter 6 where we began. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." If you are thinking that you are filling your life with the things of the world, you will never be filled. The attraction of the world cannot satisfy you. It may temporarily, but Jesus said that he is the bread of life. He who comes after him shall not hunger, and he who believes in him shall never thirst. If we try the things of the world, we will hunger again, we will thirst again. Jesus is the true bread of life. I've asked, open your songbooks to the Song of Invitation, number 671. I ask that this song be led, "Come to the Feast." And as I said earlier, you know, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, this is the night that you need to do something about it. You can't change, like we said earlier, what you did today or what you did yesterday, what you partook of, but you can make that change right now. You can start feeding on the Word of God. You can start making your life strong, as with the proper diet. You can start enjoying these benefits, and we can have that home in heaven. If there's anybody that's in need of obeying the gospel invitation, we pray that you'd come as we stand and sing.